The DUP has blasted the BBC, accusing this organisation of bias. Their MP, Sammy Wilson, has alleged the, quote, BBC aided and abetted the political enemies of the DUP to create a crisis. There's also a special mention for the Nolan Show in Mr Wilson's criticism. The party has also published an election leaflet in which they claim a number of facts, including that there will be no future overspend in the RHI. Scheme. That statement is certainly should have a number of questions around it. I've been speaking to Sammy Wilson this morning and asked him what he's on about.
Well, first of all, if you notice, at the week just before the weekend there, it was revealed that Michelle O'Neill, as Minister for Department of Agriculture, promoted nearly 60 seminars across Northern Ireland to promote RHI scheme. Some of those were after it was known that the scheme was overspending and that the grants were generous. Many of them were in her in and around her own constituency. And yet when challenged about it, and also, of course, the leaflet about the meetings revealed that the farmers and others would be told about how generous the scheme was, yet when she was challenged about it, she said she was unaware that at that stage that the scheme was over-generous. She was unaware that it was being promoted towards farmers. She was unaware that many of the farmers who were on a benefit were in her own constituency. And I think that
Where did she say she was unaware the farmers in her own constituency would benefit? There were farmers all over Northern Ireland benefiting.
Well,
are you sure she said that?
That's what she has been reported in the Irish News as saying, that she was unaware of all of these things. Yet she was
unaware of flaws in the scheme. She wasn't unaware that farmers in her constituency would benefit.
She was unaware that it was county farmers were using the scheme. She was unaware of the at that stage of generosity of the scheme. She only found out about this in February of 2016, which of course is not true, and that her department there was nothing wrong in her department promoting the scheme, and in fact probably contributing to the spike in the scheme. Now all I'm saying is maybe she was unaware, maybe she these things did pass her by, but had a DUP person said that, there would have been immediate cries from BBC that there should be an inquiry, that she should be part of the inquiry, she should be able to give answers to these questions. Not a squeak. Not a cheep from BBC. And, of course, the other point that I've made to you, Stephen, is that when the Green Energy Group, Action Renewables, whatever they were called, admitted that they got £250,000 promoting a scheme which they said they knew were flawed, BBC didn't go after them. Suddenly the story.
Well, I interviewed, it was
a non-story.
Not true. Just not true. I interviewed Action Renewables and challenged them about that very fact. Not true.
And Stephen, did your programme and did every other programme on BBC, as has happened with Arlene Foster, go after that and make that their headline, because it was a big story, their headline for 4 or 5 days? Not at all. Asked the question, dropped the issue, and moved on again to have a go at the DUP.
Don't you think there is a difference, Sammy, in a scheme which was created under the DUP minister's watch, was implemented under Arlene Foster's watch, then the spike happened under Jonathan Bell's watch, all DUP. What bit of that confuses you as to why people are asking the most questions of the party who was responsible for overseeing it and implementing it and controlling it?
And that doesn't confuse me at all. Indeed, at a very, very early stage, we were the people who were saying, let's have an inquiry. Let's see why all of these things went wrong.
At a very early stage, you rejected a public inquiry.
Let's see who knew about these issues. Let's see who was responsible. But equally, after it was known that the scheme was overly generous and everything else. We have a minister whose department has admitted that it held seminars across the country, 56 of them.
Was there anything wrong with that?
To tell people the financial benefits of the scheme.
Was there anything wrong with that?
All I'm saying to you is that when Arlene Foster was promoting the scheme and writing a letter to the banks to encourage the banks to lend farmers money, this was some kind of scandal. When another Sinn Féin minister does exactly the same after the flaws are known and contributes to the spike, there's not a word from.
How were the flaws known? Sorry,
there's no call.
Okay, well, let's step through this. Where's your evidence that Sinn Féin knew of the flaws while Michelle O'Neill was promoting the scheme?
A number of ways. First of all, the same whistleblower who contacted Arden Foster contacted Martin McGuinness at the same time. Secondly, the flaws were known in the scheme, and indeed you have interviewed Jonathan Bell about it. The flaws were known in the scheme in June 2015. Michelle O'Neill's Michelle O'Neill's department were promoting the scheme, promoting it.
No, let's not just skip over that.
Hold on. 2015.
Okay, so hold on. So I'm across quite a lot of the detail of this. So in June 2015, the permanent secretary, this is what you're referring to, the permanent secretary, Andrew McCormick, had a conversation with his then minister, Jonathan Bell. DUP Minister Jonathan Bell. And you're defining that as, well, the flaws were known in June 2015. How could Michelle O'Neill have known about that conversation?
Well, first of all, over the summer period, the papers were being prepared for changing the scheme. In September, there was discussion about the scheme, the rates being changed, etc. So Sinn Féin ministers and other ministers would have known about it at that stage.
June 2015. How would Michelle O'Neill have known about a private conversation between Andrew McCormick and Jonathan Bell?
Well, first of all, I've told you the whistleblower had already contacted her leader. It was known that there were difficulties with the scheme, and indeed you have talked about the knowledge of, time and time again on your programme, the knowledge that the scheme was overly generous. And thirdly, of course, her own department, because they were going out and promoting it, her own department knew about the generosity of the scheme because in their own leaflet they talk about at the seminars they would be giving information about the payback of the scheme, the financial support available for the scheme, the grant funding available for the scheme, and the benefits to the participants.
So was Michelle O'Neill wrong to have done that? Or was her department wrong to have done that, to have promoted a DUP scheme?
No, all I'm saying is, Stephen, that if it was known that, and if that information was being given out and her department was encouraging it, and the scandal you're saying is that there was a huge spike in applications, then all of the criticisms that you have directed towards Arlene Foster are equally to be directed towards Michelle O'Neill. Yet BBC have given her a bye ball. And, of course, this illustrates again that this was all about targeting the DUP rather than being really concerned about the scheme and being concerned about the details of the scheme. As I've pointed out to you time and time again, Stephen, this scheme was equally flawed in other parts of the United Kingdom. Millionaires getting money to heat their swimming pools. And indeed,
it wasn't equally flawed. That's just untrue.
Look at the wood pellet.
There were cost controls in the English scheme, Sammy.
No, there weren't. You tell me this then. How is it that Drax Power Station in Yorkshire, the subsidy for the wood pellets started off at $400 million and is going up to £1 billion per year? And yet,
are you stating
all the minister did was get a review of the scheme, which was never published, and you're telling me that the scheme wasn't flawed in England?
A number of things to talk about. First of all, there were cost controls and a tiering system in the English scheme.
And indeed, the drag station...
Are you denying that there were cost controls in the English scheme?
Ours is costing 20... I'm telling you, these are the facts.
That there were no cost controls. That's just factually untrue.
Ours is costing £25 million per year, which the executive and the DUP ministers have now brought a remedy for. The drag scheme is now costing over £500 million per year, will increase to £1,000 million a year, and because of the investment in it, it can't be stopped.
It's just not true that there were no cost controls in the RHI scheme across the water. Actually, that's the comparison that is being made. For you to state there were no cost controls, for you to publicly state that is untrue.
Are you telling me that an increase of a scheme that was initially designed to cost £400 million to make electricity, instead of using coal, use wood pellets, that it goes up from £400 million to £1,000 million per year, and that shows that there's cost controls? Catch yourself on.
You also say that Michelle O'Neill was equal to Arlene Foster in her responsibility towards the RHI scheme. So you draw no distinction whatsoever between a minister who is in charge of a department at the creation of a scheme that does not have cost controls and a minister who wasn't. You can't see the difference.
No, of course there's no distinction.
No distinction.
Both ministers. This is the criticism that there was of the ministers. First of all, yes, the scheme was designed in Derry, but the criticism was...
And Arlene Foster was in charge.
Why were the flaws in the scheme not identified? They weren't identified. Indeed, the flawed scheme was promoted by both departments. But there's questions about Arlene Foster's behaviour, no question about Michelle O'Neill's behaviour.
So you've said she's equal responsibility.
Why was the scheme not stopped when it was known that... The flaws were there
because your party let it continue, and this
spike was allowed
because your party let it continue. The DUP let it continue. I'm answering your question.
I suppose I'm the one who has been answering your questions. But the spike was mostly due to the huge number of farmers who took the scheme up and who promoted that. It was the Department of Agriculture who promoted that under Michelle O'Neill. There should be questions asked about the distribution of the meetings and who organised people to come along to those meetings, and why is there such a high concentration in a lot of the nationalist constituencies? Was there a political decision made there by Michelle O'Neill to encourage people to get in quick before the thing was stopped? And all of those...
Have you any evidence of that?
I've evidence of where the meetings were held. I've evidence of where the predominance of the applications came from. And those are all questions which need to be asked at a public inquiry. And I hope that Martin O'Mullier includes those kinds of questions in the remit for the public inquiry, which he has now set up. Though I suspect that might not be the case. But here's the important thing, that if those questions have to be answered by Arlene Foster in a public inquiry, and if the demand is that she should stand aside until those questions have been satisfactorily answered, why are BBC not calling for the same treatment for Michelle O'Neill? Because she's equally serious questions to ask.
Well, because the BBC didn't call for anybody to step aside in the first place.
BBC promoted this whole idea.
No, it didn't.
First Minister should stand aside.
No, it didn't. BBC would reject that.
Give plenty of time in the airwaves for it to be done.
As you're getting today.
But not a cheap from BBC, since this story is broken about Michelle O'Neill, which to me illustrates the bias that there has been in this story. First of all, it was hysterically stirred up. Secondly, all of the venom was directed at Arlene Foster. And thirdly, the BBC gave every Tom, Dick and Harry and Sean, Mick and Barry an opportunity to have a go at the DUP over this. It's a scheme that was flawed. But as I pointed out to you, Stephen, ministers have not resigned in England, even though they have overseen a scheme which, for one burner alone, has seen an increase and will see an increase of expenditure on wood pellets from £400 million per year to £1,000 million per year.
Well, even if that were true, that makes it okay in Northern Ireland, does it?
No, all I'm saying is, in the scheme of things, the question has to be asked, flawed as this scheme was, and the difficulties which there have been and questions around it, is it worthy of the kind of constitutional crisis that we are now plunged into? The answer is no. And, of course, we all know that Sinn Féin have only used this as a catalyst to get a rerun of last May's electoral battle, which they lost out on, and so, now they're hoping to try and use this election to gain some ground. And I think the electorate will see through that.
So you don't think the electorate is furious at the amount of public money that was put in jeopardy? You don't think that people on the ground, you haven't heard anger on the ground over this?
Well, what I do think is if the majority of people who have spoken to me have said, can this be fixed, then get it fixed. Rather than rant and rave about the loss of public money, make sure that the public money is not lost. And that's exactly what Simon Hamilton and Arlene Foster have done, and done it with against some reluctance from those who would rather point score than get the thing sorted out.
I want to have a look at this RHI DUP fact sheet, which your party is distributing. And you're aware of this, this fact sheet. It's actually called, we've put it on our Twitter feed, it's called RHI The Facts, and it's created by the DUP. It's potentially misleading, isn't it?
No, it's not. No, and it's an attempt to try and put some balance into the whole issue, because of course we're not getting much balance from the BBC or some of the other media on this one.
That's right. It's the media's fault.
Well, as I pointed out to you,
it was Sinn Féin's fault a minute ago. Now it's our fault.
The media have facilitated our enemies in putting out an awful lot of misinformation. And the first thing, and let's just look at what
you've given the Nolan Show a special mention in your newsletter column as well, haven't you?
I have, yes, because of course, Stephen, when you identified issues around Arlene Foster, you promised that for 24/7 you would hunt out the facts. And yet when it came to equally damaging allegations about the role of a Sinn Féin minister, there wasn't the same rigour or the same enthusiasm shown for this. But, I mean, let's just look at what
you can look at whatever you like in just a moment, because we've loads of time. But let's look at this, because this is really important. This DUP, the facts sheet, which the DUP are distributing to the public, it is potentially misleading. Let me just read the first line of it. You tell the public, costs have been capped, no future overspend.
Mm-hmm.
How is there no future overspend? How is that true?
Because once the rates have been changed to bring them into line with the new rates that were published in whatever it was, November of 2015, then there shouldn't be an overspend, because people will be paid only the amount of money to cover the cost of the pellets, not more than what the pellets
cost. But you're stating this as a present-day fact. It is not true no future overspend, is it? Because the cap is only applicable for 1 year. Yeah. There is a sunset clause, and the next 19 years have not been negotiated.
So no future overspend is potentially misleading, isn't it? I know the answer to that, because you spoke to me for about 20 minutes on it one day a couple of weeks ago. And the reason why it's only done for 1 year is because to comply with the law, you can introduce emergency measures. There then has to be consultation on those emergency measures before they become permanent.
And depending on what way that consultation goes, you will then decide what to do. You haven't decided, because you can't decide. You can't preempt a consultation. So how are you stating as fact that there will be no future overspend.
Because
it's potentially misleading, isn't it?
The one thing you can guarantee is that the consultation is designed to ensure that people cannot make abnormal profits from the scheme. They cannot use the scheme and abuse it by simply burning pellets to make money from it. And those are the parameters around the consultation. So whilst there will be responses from the consultation, if the consultation comes back and says, no, you should simply continue as you're going at present, I can tell you that those that kind of response would be ignored.
But the cost for this scheme, the 20-year cost for this scheme, Sammy Wilson, have not been capped, have they? The 20-year costs have not been capped, have they?
The costs have been capped for the next year.
Right.
And the consultation that there is being undertaken is making it quite clear that the regime which will persist for the next 19 years is designed and will ensure that there are no abnormal payments made to people. So that they can make big.
But that doesn't mean that there won't be an overspend. When the DUP have stated at the top of this fact sheet that there will be no future overspend, that's not even necessarily true for next year.
Stephen, it is.
It's not necessarily true for this year.
It is true because.
How? That's not true.
Where does the overspend occur? The overspend occurs because some people, not all people, because some of the ones after 2015, were on the new rates, but some people received a rate for the subsidy for pellets which was higher than the cost of the pellets. That has been stopped. And whatever scheme is developed for the year after this period of consultation will also reflect that.
Let's just even look at this following year. The year where the cap is in place, because that's all that's been agreed. It is not true for the DUP to state that there will not be a future overspend, is it?
It is true.
It's not. It's potentially misleading.
Because the rates are now set to ensure that people do not get more than the cost of the pellets.
Well, then,
and that's where the source of the overspend came.
Well, let me just provide you some evidence of how this leaflet is potentially misleading from guess who? Simon Hamilton, last week, Department of Economy committee meeting. Here's what he said.
Our modelling shows that there will still be a comparatively small deficit of around £2 million. We anticipate that stronger enforcement will further reduce the cost of the RHI scheme to the Northern Ireland budget.
So, a £2 million overspend is what Simon Hamilton currently is projecting for next year alone, and yet the DUP described that in a fact sheet as no future overspend. How can the public trust you?
Well, they can trust us for the simple reason that he has introduced regulations which are doing away with the subsidy, which is higher than the cost of the pellets.
You've just heard him describe a £2 million overspend, which you're describing as no overspend. It's not true.
And he has explained that because the scheme has to be tapered in, that there will be some period before all of the inspections take place.
No, he's projecting a £2 million overspend. How can the public trust your party when you put in writing no future overspend? He said £2 million.
Stephen, because the scheme is designed to ensure that all of the source of the overspend is eliminated. However, with all of these things, you can't just turn the tap on overnight. And that's what he explained that. He says that there will be a tapering in because of the inspection.
He is saying, okay, we can agree on this. We can agree on this.
The beginning of the financial year.
In fact, let's play it again.
Our modelling shows that there will still be a comparatively small deficit of around £2 million. We anticipate that stronger enforcement will further reduce the cost of the RHI scheme to the Northern Ireland budget.
There will be a deficit of £2 million, and yet the DUP distribute a fact sheet trying to tell the public there will be no future overspend. Even. Is this BBC bias or is this me doing the job?
No, it's BBC nitpicking.
£2 million is nitpicking?
No, because he made it clear as to why that would there would still be the deficit.
If there's going to be a deficit, why is your party describing it as not existing?
The scheme is designed to ensure that the source of the overspend is removed. However, as he has said, that since you can't instantly, on day one, capture all of the information which is required to deal with the people who may be getting the additional subsidy, there will be a lead-in time.
So will there be an overspend in year one or not? So there won't be a £2 million projected overspend?
What the leaflet is saying is that the costs have been capped so that there's no future overspend.
But that's not true, necessarily.
It is true. Because
first of all, the costs have only been capped for a year. The scheme is a 20-year scheme. Secondly, your own minister is saying there's a £2 million projected overscheme this year. The public aren't stupid.
But I think you're being stupid. Because read what it says. The costs have been capped. Now, what's the effect of the cost being capped? There can't be an overspend. That's what the leaflet is saying.
Heard him tell the committee there will be a £2 million overspend. Look,
he gave the reason.
Doesn't matter what the reason is.
It would take a period. No, there'd be no future overspend.
And yet, in the future, over the next year, he's projecting a £2 million overspend.
Once those costs and all of those regulations can apply to everybody, and it takes a period of time, that's what you're saying, it takes a bit of time to get them applied to everybody. Once it's applied to everybody, there's no future overspend. That's perfectly sensible.
Next statement made in the DUP fact sheet, all RHI recipients will be named. There's a temporary injunction in place stopping RHI recipients being named. That is subject to a legal court battle. Yeah. Action Renewables, who you mentioned earlier on, have a group of well over 100 people currently fighting this. It is not necessarily a fact that the RHI recipients will be named. Indeed, it might be the case that they will not be named. Why have you stated it to the public as fact?
For the simple reason that, again, we have given a commitment that we will, we are quite happy for the recipients to be named, but it's like any action of government. I mean, Donald Trump is doing the same in America. He's signed executive orders, but all of these things can be subject to judicial review.
So you're drawing a parallel between Arlene Foster and Donald Trump now?
No. What I'm saying is that, and it doesn't matter what law you introduce, of course, there was always a chance it will be subject to legal challenge. But what the leaflet is stating is that it's clearly our intention.
No, it doesn't say that. That's not true.
Our intention.
That is not true.
We were asked, are we prepared to publish the name?
No.
And we have said we will be.
This is not true. Again, Sammy Wilson, this is not.
We said we will be, Steve.
It is very, very important, actually. It is very.
If the courts stand in the way of that, then of course we can't deliver on that.
It is very, very important, especially running up to an election, that the public get the truth. So you did not say in this leaflet that it is your intention to publish names, because that would be true. What you have said in this leaflet is you have described it as a fact that all RHI recipients will be named. Do you now concede that may not be the case?
No, because that is a statement that as far as our minister is concerned, and as far as the power which they have, they will exercise that power to name the recipients.
So why aren't the RHI recipients named now?
For the simple reason that that any ministerial action is also subject to court action. And if the courts say you can't do it, then that's not Simon Hammond.
So it's not a fact then that RHI recipients will definitely be named? It's not a fact?
No. It is a fact that as far as we're concerned, we have made a commitment that those people will be named. And if they're not named, it will not be as a result of an action on our part. It'll be a result of action in the courts.
Your party knew when you distributed this leaflet.
We don't have the ability to overrule the courts on this. But what we have, here is the fact The fact is that as far as the DUP minister is concerned, if there's no impediment put in the way
of
putting the names forward, any law is subject, when a minister stands up in the Assembly and at the third reading of